My name is Stanley Kober. Is this on? My question has to do with this concept of separation that I've heard, that if there's a Palestinian state, there must be separation between Israel and this Palestinian state. But there seems to be a lot of uncertainty, and even contradictory reports I'm reading about what this concept means. So if you could help us understand.
Thank you. We'll take another one. Okay. Yes, sir.
With reference to your earlier remarks about the relationship between Palestinians and the United States, given the objective asymmetry of the relationship between Israel and Palestine, military, economic, but even cultural, isn't it almost inevitable that the Palestinians would seek to redress that asymmetry by establishing close relations like with the United States?
We'll take one more and then we'll start a new series if there are more. Yes, the lady there.
Abdullah Kirkner with the Assembly of Turkish American Associations. One of the most exciting things that has come out of the Middle East, besides the peace process, has been a new relationship that has been developing between Israel and Turkey. There are different thoughts about what the contribution of this new relationship has been to the peace process. Could you please elaborate on it further? In your opinion, has it been positively contributing to the peace process? Thank you.
Okay, I'll try. With regards to question number one, the concept of separation, I think you said that one hears conflicting voices, which just underlines what I said before. Every citizen of Jerusalem has more opinions and so on and so forth. The policy has not yet been set. Prime Minister has made certain pronouncements basically in cabinet meetings, and other ministers have made different opinions, have voiced different opinions. And I don't know what the decision will be. I know what my personal view is. My personal view is that it will not be good for Israel and it will not be good for the Palestinians. Neither economically nor socially or politically. If the main component of the Palestinian economy in the future, almost the main component, will be work in Israel when they want, the Palestinians want, political separation. I mean, maybe if we look 30 years back or 20 years back, or 10 years back, there could have been other solutions. There could have been integration, there could have been coexistence. There were all sorts of ideas floating around. But the Palestinians, and I think most Israelis, have today set their mind on some sort of political separation, whatever exact form this future entity will take. And you can't have both. Also, from Israel's point of view, we don't want to become a new South Africa, as South Africa was at the time. One society being overly dependent on the labor of another society. That's not good. And therefore, I think this idea, this concept of separation, if that's the exact word, will, I think, over time take root. Which does not mean that things should happen from one day to the other. It should be gradual. And our hope is, and I said this in my speech, there should be major, major efforts by everybody, including Israel, to build up the Palestinian indigenous economy, to create jobs. The Arab world should participate in that. even on in an interim phase in some of the Gulf countries, in spite of the present situation of oil prices, tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, foreign workers are being employed, but not Palestinians, because of the Gulf War and so on and so forth. But still, the Arab world will also have to think about their Palestinian brethren in that respect. So, I think policy has not yet been made. It will certainly be one of the items of permanent status talks over the next 10 months or so. But I think that's the trend of Prime Minister Barak's thinking and of many others in Israel as well. With regards to Mr. Peretz, I think, made that point that it would only be natural for the Palestinians, because of the disproportionate strength or whatever, to seek a closer relationship with the U.S. I'm not offering an opinion about the Palestinian logic from that point of view. I'm not even saying that this has always been unhelpful, because it probably in certain times gave the Palestinians a feeling that, you know, that they have a measure of support from America in order to balance that disproportionate, supposedly disproportionate balance between Israel and the Palestinians. Still, having said that, I remember years ago, during my first term of ambassador, I think right after the Gulf War, Tom Friedman wrote an article, and he said, whenever there is a perception on the Arab side of American pressure on Israel, even if it's not a reality, it's just a perception, the Arab side believes that they don't have to compromise, that they don't have to make concessions, that they can just lean back and wait for America to deliver Israel. This has never happened, and it will never happen. But in order really to make it very clear, our friends on the Palestinian side, you have to come to terms with Israel. You have to give the Israeli public a feeling that you mean seriously that you want to live in peace with us. You don't have to make peace with Washington, and we don't have to make peace with Washington. It's between them and us. So I think that these last few years, for whatever reason, and I think the blame must be shared by more than one, that these last few years, when America did change its position and did become the judge, this was not very helpful. And I think that's what Barak means when he says, okay, America will continue to play a very important role, but as facilitators, not as judges. And I think that's where it comes from. Turkey and Israel, Turkey and the Jewish people have a long history, as many of you know, a long positive history. After the Inquisition in Spain, after the expulsion of the Spanish Jews, most of them went to the Ottoman Empire, where they were received and welcomed in an exceptional way, contrary to what happened in many parts of Christian Europe. And there were, like in any relationship, ups and downs, but the relationship has been good, historically. So there is this basis, and right, I think, after the establishment of the State of Israel, maybe even before, Ben-Gurion already had this idea. After all, the Middle East is not an exclusively Arab Middle East. There are other peoples there. There are Turks, and there are Christian Lebanese, and there are Israelis, and there are Iranians, and there are Ethiopians, and so on and so forth. Maybe those people, these peoples, should try to get together. Well, you know, it didn't always turn out like that. But the concept was there, and today Turkey and Israel share many strategic interests, and in the eyes of the United States, this close Turkish-Israeli relationship is an important factor in the stability of the Middle East as a whole, not just with regards to Israel. So it's a welcome development. And there may be other things which Turkey may be considering to do. There's the question of water in the Middle East, as you know, in our part of the Middle East at least. Turkey has an abundance. We do not, nor do our immediate neighbors have an abundance of water. And maybe in this new age, some solutions can be found where Turkey can be helpful, among other things, in eliminating a potential factor of future crisis between different countries in the region. Yes, please.
Joyce Davis with Knight Ritter Newspapers. You mentioned that you
Which newspaper?
Knight Ritter.
Yeah, sure.
You mentioned that you had not perceived even an inkling of moderation coming from President Assad, but you didn't go into much detail on Iran. I was just in Iran a few weeks ago, and it seemed to me that many officials there, as well as ordinary people, at least had begun to open their minds to the concept of negotiating peace with Iran. I'm wondering if Israel has detected any inkling of moderation coming from Iran, and if it has responded.
Yes. Yes. I can't hear you.
I'm wondering if you might shed any light on the comments Mr. Barak made this morning in Oslo about the new Israel categories when it comes to the interests. Vital, non-negotiable, and important.
Okay. Shall we take a third one? Yes, please.
Zalman, first of all, you'll be sorely missed at this time. I want to ask you a question based on your experience here in Washington, having been here for over a decade. There is a great debate in Washington about a new isolationism. I'd like to ask you your view as an observer of Washington about how both ends of Capitol Hill understand international conflict, understand the Middle East, whether you've seen this move in a positive or negative direction, and how you think this has impacted your ability to move forward in the peace process.
Why don't you ask me again when I come back as a civilian? I'll start with the first question about Iran. We Europe, we America, we hear some more moderate statements coming from Iran, from parts of the Iranian leadership. But again, similar to the Syrian situation, we have not yet witnessed any real change with regards to specific or hard positions. Iran still says it opposes the peace process. It says it still does not recognize Israel's right to exist. It still supports the Hezbollah in Lebanon. And there is the additional question, which is very worrying to us, of the 13 Jews, which sit in prison on a trumped-up charge of spying, and who could face the death penalty. So we don't know. I think many of us will wait to see what happens in the forthcoming Iranian elections. Does the more moderate wing gain a majority or a serious plurality or not? And some things may depend on that, although, as I said before, We have heard better pronouncements here and there, but not necessarily deeds. And I would just like to conclude my answer by saying, we in Israel don't see Iran as an enemy. We have no conflict of interest. There shouldn't be the sort of relationship which exists now. And hopefully, one day will come when Iran and Israel will be able to live on better terms. We have no conflict with Iran, and they should have no conflict with us. With regards to the statements which Prime Minister Barak supposedly made in Oslo, I'm saying supposedly because to the best of my knowledge, they were not necessarily made by Barak himself, but by someone in his entourage. I do not intend to go into hair splitting and say this is absolutely vital, this is a little bit less vital, this is even a little bit more less vital. What really counts is what happens at the negotiating table. And as I said before, the basic calculus from Israel's point of view, whichever government there is, has not changed because it is still dictated by our security concerns and some others as well. So I don't want to get into this question of red lines or green lines or blue lines or whatever. We will see once we sit down and negotiate. And as I said before, the most important channel with my in my experience, I'm not saying this out of knowledge, but in my experience, will be the less you read about least in the papers between the leaders themselves. Rob, this is a big debate. Is America becoming, or parts of the American body politic becoming more isolationist, less isolationist? Is it just unilateralist rather than isolationism? I don't want to get into that, especially not at this point in time. What I will say is that America, as the only remaining superpower in the world, and I know this is now a routine sort of statement, but it happens to be a fact. And this world being interconnected in so many ways will without any doubt continue and have to continue to be very much concerned with what is going on in the rest of the world. Now, how to approach that? Different political circles or people may have different ways. But nobody, I think, even imagines that he can sit within the confines of four walls he sits in and ignore what's happening in the rest of the world. And I must say that from Israel's point of view, I'm saying this also as the ambassador, perhaps especially as the ambassador, there is this growing awareness on both sides of the aisle that Israel is a real partner of the United States. There used to be this debate, remember, a few years ago, especially after the demise of the Soviet Union, the end of the Cold War, whether it's a strategic relationship which keeps us together, or whether it's the shared moral values, Judeo-Christian traditions, and so on and so forth. I never saw this as a dilemma. Because unless there are these shared values and moral attitudes and so on, what worth is there for strategic relationships in the long run anyway? They are brittle. And I think most Americans Jewish or non-Jewish, regard this close relationship as an integral part of American policy and beyond policy. And I think this will continue, and indeed this is the way we approach things, and this is the way we regard things. When I mentioned Sandy Berger before about stable Middle East being an American strategic interest, and I connected this with the ongoing, not ongoing, actually upgrading or upgraded strategic relationship between Israel and America, I think that's the direction things will take. Thank you very much.